about you, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Sing that last chorus.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper.
I'm thankful to be in a church where, you know, Brother Branham set church order for us, and we have a place that is truly worship. We didn't have dinner tonight. We don't have bingo here later. And I'm thankful for a place to come, and it can be all about Him. We can truly worship the Lord tonight. We got several prayer requests, and I still have a black screen here. I don't know if anything can be done back there about that, but we'll take these needs. I'm going to ask Brother Brad Yontz if he'll come and pray over these needs tonight. Brother Terry Stockton called to ask the church to remember Richard Pennycuff in prayer. Recent test results on his pancreas were not good. Additional tests on his lymph nodes are scheduled. Please pray all will be well. Brother Joel Moyer has an unspoken request. Remember Sister Daisy Rice in prayer. She fell yesterday. She's in the hospital. Running tests on her. Visitors aren't recommended at this time. So let's remember Sister Daisy. I did see her last night. She's really sick. Family would covet your prayers, I'm sure. Please pray for Jim and Kathy Van Lair from Dallas, Texas. Kathy hurt her back. Jim needs prayer. They stream our services and thoroughly enjoy each one. So let's remember that family. For my mother, Twyla, she's in the hospital with sepsis. Doctors are still trying to find out exactly what's wrong, the source of that. That's from Brother Richard Woodring. So let's remember that. Request from Sister Heather Potter. My cousin, who was like a sister to me, passed away unexpectedly at 28 years old. My aunt and family are taking it very hard. They just all need a touch from the Lord. So certainly a desperate need there. Let's remember that family. Remember James Hicks in prayers, young man from Elizabethan. Sister Janet Kennedy's oldest brother passed away unexpectedly before service this evening. Please pray for her and the rest of her family. Brother Brad, if you'll come. So just another serious need there. Let's stand as Brother Brad comes. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Share with you a praise report from Sister Naomi Daly. I'd like to thank the Lord for His tender hand of mercy, taking away excruciating pain in my back and hip. still have a little ways to go, but healing is a process, and I will walk towards my well body. So we appreciate the Lord's touch for her tonight. Thank you, buddy.
Let's all just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this privilege once again to come into your house, Father, together with people, Lord, that believes the same way, Father, that we come to serve you under one purpose, Father. Lord, I just pray, God, may you have control of this service. May you walk up and down these aisles and minister to our hearts. Lord, we know each need we bring to you, Father. No need is too great for you. These I hold in my hand, Father. These people had confidence, God, that we can reach your throne, Father. We pray, may you move for each one according to your perfect divine will. Father, may you have control of this service, Father. May you anoint the singing, the special singing, and most of all, anoint our brother, Father, as he comes out. Lord, you see what he studied, what he has before him. Lord, we come expecting to hear from you tonight, God. We have our needs in our body, Lord. You know what we have. Jesus, may you speak and may you move and have full control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Bradley can double up on his duties up here tonight for us. Let's sing this together tonight. Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. I think we all stand there tonight. Can we get the words back there? When my sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. And Lord, all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I'll help others find a way at your mercy. Please forgive me.
Believe the God of earth and glory. He will take the time to care for one like me.
Peace of God cover me. B flat. Peace of God cover me. Let's sing Cover Me tonight.
Oh, peace of God cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Peace of cover me through the storm. Cover me. Only in you I am safe.
Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through the storm. Cover me when lost. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me when I am hurting. Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I'm going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand.
Brothers would like to come tonight. Let's sing Be Multiplied. Let's sing Be Multiplied. You know, Brother Jonathan Benton described this song the best when we were talking about it once. He said it's very poetic. Sometimes just your words are not enough. It doesn't feel like enough to praise Him. But let our words tonight, let our praise tonight, take it, Lord, and You multiply it. We're unworthy. Our lips are unworthy. Our praise is unworthy. But we're going to give our best tonight. And we're going to ask You, Lord, multiply it. Make it worthy of Your ears tonight. That's the key. F. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to Your desire. Come sing tonight.
For a world that's lost in darkness, for the saint that's gone astray, for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all, for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, for the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wrong, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong. There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all, for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For every tribe and every nation, for every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place, there's an answer to your questions. There is love for all the hate. There's a healer for the dying. He's alive. There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all, for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. Deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand. Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Do you love that man in the middle? Let's sing that together tonight. Let's start with that first verse.
There was a mountain. There were three trees. There was a good man, there were two feet, a man called Barabbas was due for the tree, but Jesus took that middle one, and Barabbas went free.
You love Him, sing it to Him tonight.
Love that man.
we sing it together? Don't you love him with all your heart? Jesus. I trust we never take that freedom for granted. Amen. We live in America, a free nation. I've been in China and communist countries, and you don't know what it's like if you haven't been there. To be having church, hear a knock on your hotel room door, not knowing if they're going to come to arrest you, not knowing exactly what they're going to do, it ought to make us appreciate our freedom. Amen. And our liberty. We don't know how long we'll have it, but we want to certainly take advantage of it as long as we do, don't we? Boy, y'all are sigh for sore eyes. I sure missed you. Amen. I heard you had some wonderful services. When the Lord blessed us while we was going out in Arizona. Had some good meetings there. The brothers did really good. Good time of fellowship. I preach in lots of different places around the world, but ain't no place like home. That's right. Amen. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Let's talk about the church. What do you say? Amen. The church. Matthew chapter 16. Listen to the value now that the Lord Jesus places. This is the saying, of course, in time. He breaks into eternity later, but for right now, he's going to be able to bring the view of the church. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Ecclesia, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. In a Christian sense, an assembly of Christians gathered to gossip and to look at one another's clothes and to find fault with the music. You see, if you didn't come tonight gathered in this place for worship, you're here for the wrong reason. If you come to show your new shirt and your new dress and your new shoes, you come for the wrong purpose. We come to worship tonight, to have church. That's right. Amen. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Praise God. And you ask me if I think the church is important? Do you understand? This is the shortest span of time that the church will bring him glory. Through the ages that go on, world without end, Amen. The church will be the instrument by which God will procure his glory through eternity. I know that's more than our minds can comprehend without a revelation. We need help to be able to comprehend such a thing. Let's read it again. Unto him be glory in the church, not in angels, not in planets, stars, the moon, but in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And then Paul liked that so well, he said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how great are your words. Lord Jesus, we thank you. These scriptures have been read now for 2,000 years. Lord, what a blessing they've been to your people. We read them tonight. They're just as fresh to the heart of the quickened as they were the day they were quickened themselves. Because these are your written words. We are your living word. This is why the word means so much to the real elect of God. It is part of who we are. Your word is not something, Lord, that we use to debate, argue, fuss. But Lord Jesus, it's part of who we are. We thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray you'd take the word, anoint our hearts afresh. Lord Jesus, you see our needs. I pray the presence of God would catch us up, Lord, that we would be able to spend these few moments together. May there be moments spent in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as we gather around the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. You see this prayer call that I have in my hand tonight, Lord, for Sister Martha Sacker. You know her need, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, may you go to her, Lord. For the other needs that are present, those that are streaming tonight, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, those that might be sick. Maybe there's some at home tonight and in their bodies. Lord, they're just sick. They're not feeling well. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Ghost, I pray, go out of this internet tonight, Father. May you touch those. Lord, maybe there's some here in the service and they're not feeling well. They just really need a touch before the word ever starts. I pray, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, may the Holy Ghost go to your children. Touch them now, Father, we pray. We'll give you praise in advance for what you're already going to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the saints of God said, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let us resume one of the traits and the characteristics that the Lord Jesus wanted to identify his people in the shadows of the Old Testament before it ever merged into the New Testament, the New Covenant. That was being the people of God. I realize it is the sovereignty of God that becomes such a puzzling thing and a wonderment to even many Christians, which makes it so sad, because one of the greatest attributes to me of the divine Godhead is the ability of God in sovereign mercy and grace to be able to administer grace to the vessels of mercy, to be able to express in his attributes at the same time in a just manner through the vessels that Paul called, as we read it a week or so ago, that he called one a vessel of mercy and the other being a vessel of wrath. Now I know that people look at that and they try to understand and they take the carnal mind, the human mind, which there's no way we can ever understand the greatness of God with the carnal mind. The carnal mind will totally sever us away from the greatness of how God wanted to express himself. And yet people read the word and they think, well, how is it that God could pick to say this one, that one, that one? And then God would say to Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. How is it that God could harden Pharaoh's heart? How could God be able to deal with some people that he knew would be on the opposite side? They would absolutely hate him. They would stand against him, and yet God could be sovereign in doing so. And yet others, he would afford, prepare them for glory to be identified as the people of God. Now, before we go into this, let me just share this with you, just a little prelude of what we'll get into, the Lord willing, in a couple of weeks. But there are some people on the face of the earth, if they live to be 1,000,000 years old, they would never choose to serve God. Now, that is not so much that God would not let them serve him, but they do not want to serve him. Now, you know, when you think of the millennium, which we are about to go into shortly, whenever we enter into the millennium, it will be, let me just briefly describe it. It will be under the reign of the Son of David. It will be the messianic kingdom brought down from heaven to the earth. It will be 1,000 years of peace. There will be people here in glorified bodies, and there will be people in natural bodies, it looks like, giving birth to children. People that will be allowed for the first time on the earth to live 1,000 years. Nobody ever did that before. So they will be allowed to live 1,000 years on the earth. There will be absolute glory, peace. There will be a great renown, a time that has never been like on the earth, with so many people enjoying it. Now, it will be, like the Spirit of God taking us back as it was to the before the fall, that the people will be living on the earth. There will be peace. There will be crops. Death will have been subdued in the sense of Satan having no one to be able to render it. He's bound. No devil on the earth. There will be no cigarette factories. There will be no X-rated TV. There will be none of that, but yet there will be unconverted people living on the earth. Now, this will be the heathen that never had the opportunity to hear the gospel, and they will be raised during the time of the millennium. Now, you would think anybody in their right mind, seeing people in glorified bodies, seeing the Lord Jesus on his own throne, seeing the millennium temple being built, and seeing all of these things, that everybody would want to serve God. But there will be people come out from under that 1,000 years of peace, of glory, of honor, of truth, and they will make up their mind at the end of that they do not want to serve God. Under the reign of the Son of David, it will be a politics on this earth that the world has never known. It will not be GOP. It will not be Democrats. It will not be socialists. It will be the government of the Lord Jesus. And yet from under that reign, there will be people who will not want to serve him. Now that proves a great thing to you and I, that if people will choose not to serve the Lord Jesus in such a reign as a millennium, that many of them, you place them in Laodicea, you place them in Noah's day, you place them in Luther's day, you place them in our church or wherever they are, it wouldn't really make any difference where you would place them, because whether you give them 500 years, 50, or 10,000, when it comes to the end of it, they do not want to serve God. Now, that is not so much that God is this mean, evil being in heaven that is displaying his sovereign meanness, and that God's saying, "I ain't going to let you serve me. There ain't no way you can serve me, even if you want to." Nope, that's not the way God does it. But God can foresee what people will choose. Now, if you read the scripture real close, you'll find that there is a parallel with Pharaoh, and that is that part of the time the scripture says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and part of the time the scripture says God hardened his heart. Now, you see, God can justly do that and be able to display his sovereignty. So God needs people on the side of the contrast, on the side of darkness. So God, by foreknowledge, can be able to designate who they will be. But notice, God did not say, "Now you cannot be saved, you cannot have mercy." God knows they will at least have one opportunity, but they will turn him down over and over and over and over. If they live to be 1,000,000 years old, when it's all said and done, they would turn him down. But if you're a seed of God, you don't have to live 1,000,000, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. That's enough for you to be able to make your choice, because you want to live for him. Aren't you glad? Something there beside the envy and all that of the world. But notice then, so God is able to look right down through time. He was able to raise up kings, put down kings. He was able to call men's names. names before they were ever born. He was able to choose men even in power to put them in a political regime to display the sovereignty of God. But everyone that will that have lived upon the earth now will walk before God one day, and God will just be able to say, yes, I did harden your heart. Yes, I did raise you up for this purpose, and I followed your own desire because you turned me down. You did not want me, and when you turned me down, then I went on to harden your own heart in the way you wanted to go. It was your choice. By foreknowledge, God can be able to look at every human being that will live upon the earth, and God knows exactly what they will be, who they will be, and which side they will take. That's why he could say to Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Now God knew what Lucifer would do, yet he could not make him do it. So he placed him, as it was, on a basis of choice. As the angelic beings were placed with souls, and they were placed also on a probationary period, to where they would have the ability to choose. But remember, the Bible in the New Testament also tells us that there are elect angels. So there's angels that are non-elect and angels that are elect. Well, praise God. There are humans on the earth that are elect, and there are humans on the earth that are not elect. But yet every human will have the right. If you want to go to heaven and you're not bride, you can still go if you want to go. And if you choose not to go, then I say you deserve hell. Because of what the Lord Jesus paid, he paid the price that you could go if you want to go. Oh, you say, well, I'm not bride. I can't go. That's a lie. You can go if you want to go. You will not go in the rapture. You will not be bride. But if you don't want to be lost, you don't have to be lost. But you can preach that till you're blue in the face to some people, and they'll still never do it because they don't want to. Now, they can blame God. They can blame the preacher. They can blame whoever they want to blame. But in reality, the blame comes right back to themselves. Just like the elect on the other side, oh, the devil will make all kinds of excuses and say you ain't good enough, you can't go this, that, and the other. You won't pay a bit more attention to him than nothing because you want to go and there ain't nothing going to stop you. But if you don't want to go, there ain't a preacher, there ain't a prophet, there ain't an angel, and even God won't make you go if you don't want to go. But if you want to go, there ain't enough devils in hell, there ain't enough humans, there is nothing that can stop you from going if you want to go. Praise be to God. Now, by course of creation, God giving every individual the breath of life, all men in that sense are the creation of God. By the procreative ability that God placed in man to be able to procreate, and that is by a companion, God continues for the life cycle to go on and on. But then the other phase of that, of course, is eternal life, and we do not have the ability to share that. A man and his wife, both of them might be bride, they might be elected, but that does not mean their offspring are elected just because they are, because we do not have the ability to pass the seed of God to our children. Only God passes the seed of God. You don't do it, and I don't do it. Look at Jacob and Esau. Look at the twins on down through the Bible. So God is the only one that can do that. And call those people then the people of God. But then on the other side is the display of the vessels of wrath. Now I know this may get a little bit sticky tonight, but hang on with me. And Romans chapter 9 verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump. Now, the word lump here means it's a mass of humanity, so it denotes a consistency that has been reduced down and molded together to make something of a fine consistency. So it shows the creative hand of God on either side of these vessels that we're going to look at. So on one side, we'll call this line over here the vessels of mercy. On the other side is the vessels of wrath. But the lump or the mass of humanity, they all come from the same lump as far as human bodies. The differentiation is not the lump of humanity they come from, it's the part of God's mind. Amen. Now, notice in all of humanity how Paul likens it. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same mass to be able to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So God, if you choose it, God will be able to take a handful of clay and he will be able to make, say, a bottle that would look like this in the natural sense. Then God could take and tear that up and God could make it into a teacup, or God could make it into a teapot. So what would be the one that would be able to determine that? Well, it would not be that there would be more calcium oxide, or that there would be a little bit more minerals of magnesium or something from the lump, because Paul places all of the humanity in the same lump. All of our flesh is the same, whether we're elect or non-elect, bride or not bride. We're born between Satan and Eve as far as the flesh. But yet there is another part which makes us different, and the qualification of that is vessels of mercy or vessels of wrath. So the lump of humanity, it all comes, and yet God reaches in there and God pulls out a handful of clay and God begins to shape and God begins to mold. When reading on this, I read of a man, and he had went to a potter's house, and he was really from trying to understand the scripture. So he told the potter, it was a great renowned potter, and the man had great ability with clay. So he said, make me a vessel. So the man reaches down into the lump of clay, having the consistency made, having so much, you know, the oxides and this and that and the other to make the clay, so when you fire it, it would not break. So the man reaches in and he takes both of his hands and wets them a little bit, and then he puts it on the wheel. And he begins to kick around on the wheel and he molds something. He said, now make me another vessel. So the man did not reach in into the feather and get another lump of clay, but he actually took the same clay that he had made this one vessel and just tore it all up and reshaped the same clay into another image. So you see, it was not the clay itself that said, make me a teacup, make me a Gatorade bottle, or make me a teapot, make me a vase that will be able to set in the Smithsonian Institute. It was not the clay itself that was designating by its own choice, I want to be this or that or that. Come on now, saints, don't get quiet. Y'all do believe the Bible, right? Notice how Paul places the sovereignty. Hath not the potter power over the clay? The clay does not have power over the potter. Make me this, I want this, I want you to do this for me. I want to be a preacher, I want to be a prophet, I want to be a singer, I want to be... That's not the way it works. It is the potter that has power over the clay. Boy, if we get that right, a lot of our jealousy would go out the window, wouldn't it? That's right. Notice this. Now he says, I've got the potter power over the clay of the same lump of humanity to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Now they are made salt by water, and of course the consistency comes to a place to where it can be shaped and molded together, and God takes humanity and there it all lays before him, and God knows exactly what to make out of each one of our lives. Now he identifies it positionally, placing them as one vessel is made unto wrath and another vessel would be made unto mercy, one unto goodness, one unto honor, another under dishonor. One will accept, one won't. One will shout, one will pout. One will believe in preachers and the other will damn them in the same message. Some will thank God for a prophet of God. Others will blaspheme and say it was a false prophet. Well, praise the Lord. So the lump here is not what dictates to the potter what it wants to be made into. But yet the potter, unlike now a natural man that would sit there and he would make vessels, he would have no way of knowing, this teapot will wind up in the Queen of England's house, or this cup will wind up in a governor's house. And well, those potters don't have the ability to do that. But the great potter can look at the lump of humanity and he knows the majority of humanity human beings that have lived on the earth. Many millions of them will go towards Sikhs, Jains, Buddhists, Hinduism, Muslims. They'll go toward many, many things. Then many others will not go toward that. They will go toward Catholicism. Many of the others on the other side will go toward Protestantism. And they're simply just a mother and daughters. They fuss and fight, but they belong to the same group. That's right. But on the other hand, there's also some vessels of honor, which are identified as vessels of mercy. Now, the potter then illustrates the divine sovereignty of God. Notice in verse 22, so what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering. Now listen, what if God willing to make his power known? What if God willing to make his power known? Oh, now they think what he's done. Now God wants to show his wrath and make his power known, but he can't just any, meeny, miny, mo, I'm not going to let you go. So you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, and just hear random, say, this is not a lottery. But God can look down through time and see. Now listen, friend, the mercy of God was so great when the first mongrel ever stood on the earth, the first hybrid creature that stood upon the earth, which was Cain, part animal, part human. Yet the prophet of God said God loved him and went after him. And God told him, if you do well, you will be accepted. Just worship like your brother. But instead of worshiping like his brother, he killed his brother. Now God would have led Cain if he would have lived and have been alive tonight on the earth. And God would have let him live for thousands of years. No doubt Cain would still be killing. He would still be doing the same thing he'd done right back under. Young sinners without a conversion just turn into old sinners. Look at them. They become worse and more decrepit and more lost. And that's right. Now, notice then, God is the only one, of course, that knows what the end would be. Well, what if God willing to show his wrath and make his power known? Now, the bride brings out certain traits and characteristics that's in the Father's heart. But yet, the wicked also, on the other hand. Those of you that have studied the gods of the Egyptians, you know that there were 10 major gods. They had many gods, but there were 10 major gods by which God had each of the identified plagues to prove to Israel and to the Egyptians that the Egyptian gods had no power. So the sun, which was Ra, Apis, the bull, I mean, on and on and on, one after another, and God had every one of those plagues identified on that deity which the Egyptians worshiped. But God's not just disproving the gods to the Egyptians, he's trying to disprove that to his children that's down there in the land of Egypt. It's easy to see some of them didn't take the message, did they? Because when they come out, they started worshiping some of the same things again. Now, remember when Paul writes this, this is not under law, but under grace. You mean a preacher under grace is preaching vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy? You see, preachers who don't preach this is not really preaching the full gospel. This ain't the Old Testament. This is the new. Amen. But Brother Donnie, it'll discourage people. The Word of God discourages people. The Word of God discourages people from coming to the Lord Jesus. Well, maybe we should burn our Bibles in. Maybe we should just pick out what scriptures we want that we think encourages people. Notice this, what if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured. You say, where's the grace of God to them people? Right there in that one word. He endured. God's put up with this bunch of loudmouth Americans. God's put up with the vulgar French. God's put up with the perverted English. creature on the face of the earth. Grace. Oh my. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So God reaches down in the lump of humanity, takes a lump of clay, molds it, shapes it, sets it in the Laodicean age. God said, I have endured you. I have put up with you. You've blasphemed me. You've ridiculed my word. And I knew you would. So I molded you to destruction. But now you see, you can't make God just. If God molded this vessel to destruction and would never allow that vessel the opportunity to be changed. Oh no. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that stands before God, they will at least have one time the Spirit of God struck their heart in a motel when they picked up a Gideon's Bible. They passed by a church sign, little something flipped in their heart there. Every mortal will be able to stand before God, even those I described in the millennium, and God will be able to say, you remember that time? No, I don't remember. Show it to them. Right there on God's great big screen, it'll come. There they were sitting in the, Comfort Inn or wherever it was. They opened that Gideon Bible and something struck your heart. But what did they do? I'm too young for that right now. I've got too many wild oats to sow. I want to do this and that and the other. And God said, right there was your choice. I saw your choice, and by doing that, my foreknowledge allowed me to be able to shape you into this vessel fitted for the tribulation to be annihilated by the atomic bomb. How could he do it? Because he can foresee. Oh, praise God. People think when you preach the real understanding of predestination, you don't have grace. You have more grace than those who preach the Free Will Baptist version. Now notice, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath. Now I want you to notice how Paul, a New Testament grace preacher, nobody preached grace like Paul. Nobody in the New Testament preached mercy like Paul, preached the atonement like Paul. And yet that grace preacher is preaching vessels that were fitted to destruction. I want you to notice what he calls them, vessels of wrath. Fitted to destruction. Jude, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. And the church said, before of old, ordained to this condemnation. There are people, friends, that are ordained to put up websites against the prophet of God. They're ordained to stand against the bride, whatever press that we will go through before the rapture comes. There are people, no doubt, ordained. And you know it as well as I do. Most of the persecution always comes from somebody who's been within the move. People out here don't know what we believe. They don't know what we stand for. It must be people from within. Who was it that led them to the Lord Jesus? A former message preacher. Judas Iscariot was his name. Why? He knew what they believed. He knew whether they gathered. He knew all the secrets, so-called. There's got to be people that will pull away. There's got to be people that will stand against it. And God knew who they would be. And God could say, all right, I am going to fit by my foreknowledge your own will and choice. And I'm going to reach over here in the lump of humanity. I see if I let you live 10 million years, you'd hate me. You'd despise me. You'd reject me. So I am going to shape you into a vessel of wrath. I'm going to fit you to be annihilated. Based upon your choice. And when they walk before him that day, and if they go to raise their voices, say, don't you raise your voice to me. show him his choice. Aren't you glad yours will be up there too? How can God just do that, Brother Donnie? Foreknowledge. You see, the bride is not just by God foreseeing what you would do. But you were in him before there was ever a world. Oh my. Notice now verse 23, Romans 9, 23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Now, what you notice now, these others are called vessels of wrath, but these are identified as vessels of mercy. Why are they called that? Both of them carry the identity of the attribute of God, which will define their life. The vessels of wrath are termed so because they will receive the ultimate wrath from God, which will be what? Eternal separation and total annihilation. Their soul will cease to exist. There will not even be any memory of the wicked, the Bible says. And you're not a vessel of long hair or a vessel identified as a tapeworm or a vessel of church going, and all that is part of it. But your identification is what elevates you into the position of the heart of God, that you are a vessel of mercy. Oh, praise be to God. What was mercy do? Everything you have need of. Oh, because you deserve it? No, you're not a vessel of deserving. You're not a vessel of worthy. You're a vessel of mercy. Praise be to God. But I want you to notice he displays his power through judgment and wrath on the vessels of wrath. But on the vessels of mercy, he opens up his treasure trove that he might make known the riches. Now he's making his power, which is part of the attribute of the divine judge. He's making his power, his right of discretion, his right of judgment, to be able to look at men down through time and know what they would do before Jacob or Esau was ever born. Him knowing what they would choose, he could say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? He saw what Esau would be. He knew if Esau would live to be 500 years old, his view of the birthright would still be the same thing. I'll trade it any day for a cigarette. I'll trade it any day for a bottle of beer. I'll trade it any day for a mess of pottage. But he also knew, Jacob said, I want that birthright. Oh, hallelujah. And God looked at that and said, yes, sir, that's my boy right there. He's got a lot to learn. He's a liar and he's a shyster. But I'm about to get him straightened out. But he views the birthright right. Why? Jacob was a vessel of mercy, not a vessel of worthy, not a vessel of a great man. The prophet said Esau was a better man than Jacob was. But he placed no value on the birthright. Can't you see, friends? Laodiceans who turned down the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's Esau again. They place no value on the birthright. They want what they want first. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. I don't think you've got to do that. I think there's all kinds of way to heaven. Well, I don't know who told you that lie, but it is a lie and it'll take you to hell. There's one way to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. You can't come through Brother Branham. You don't come through Paul. You don't come through Happy Valley. You don't come through Shintoism, Taoism. You come through the Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. He might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. These verses speak of five great attributes of God. You notice it, I'm sure, here in verse 22 and 23. Wrath, power, patience, glory, and mercy. Bringing them together, you cover the entirety of man's existence from Adam to the last soul saved at the end. Whether on the one side of darkness or the other side of light. What do we find? A Moses being a vessel of mercy. What do we find on the other side? A Balaam. A vessel fitted to destruction. What do we find before they left the land of Egypt? A Moses, a Joshua, Aaron, all of those down there that were vessels of mercy. And we find a Pharaoh. We find a Potiphar. We find all of those. It's always been that way, and it's that way to this very day. It will be that way right up to the end time, and even in the millennium, there will be vessels of mercy in glorified bodies. And if they don't come to church, them people in human bodies don't come to church, the sons of God will say, you don't get no rain on your corn. And at the end of that, they'll make their choice and side with the devil and say, I hate Jesus Christ. I hate his sons. I hate this kingdom. So whether you put them here or put them in the millennium, if they ain't going to live right, I don't care where you put them. But you put the bride here, you put her in the millennium, you put her in Laodicea, you put her in Ephesians, you put her in the Philadelphian age, wherever you put her, she'll be identified with that word. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. This verse teaches us that the great treatment of God toward the wicked is not arbitrary. It is not that God is mean and hateful and said, I will not let you come in. That's contrary to the gospel message. I wonder, friends, if the apostles would raise up in this day and be able to go about in some of our message churches and hear the so-called gospel preached. I wonder if they'd be amazed at the way some of our preachers preach it. I wonder if you'll go through the book of Acts and go through the Pauline epistles and Peter and James and Jude and hear how they preach this word. Constantly referring to the elect. Constantly referring to the predestinated. Wow, that's the way they believed it. I wonder if they would be ashamed by the way that some of our preachers preach it, and they've washed it down with a bunch of denominational trash. You see, tradition is what makes you still pull back after you've heard this for years. And I'm reading to you directly from the Word of God. What is it? Your tradition. Well, my daddy, I don't care what your daddy said. I don't care if your daddy stands on his head and gargles peanut butter. If he says something contrary to the word, spit the peanut butter out and stay with the word of God. God's word is your real father. God's word is our real absolute. Woo. You see, in both cases, now listen, in both cases, the glory of God is expressed. What the devil thought he would turn into his own heyday, God will turn it right around and has turned it around and will display his wrath and display his power and display his judgment even on the devil's kingdom, and turns around and overloads the elect with such blessings of grace that David said, he loadeth me daily with benefits. But Brother Donnie, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through such burdens, but you're loaded also with the goodness of God to help you bear the burden, or you'd be crazy. No matter what you're going through, you can always look around and see the hand of God. You are not fitted to be a vessel to destruction. So when the devil tells you this is going to destroy you, say, uh-oh, you're a liar. I'm not fitted to destruction. I'm fitted to the rapture. I'm fitted to the call of God. Oh, I wish somebody had church with me tonight. I'm not fitted to be blown up. I'm not fitted. fitted for the tribulation period. I'm not fitted for the atomic bomb. I'm fitted for the Holy Ghost. I'm fitted for the resurrection. I'm fitted for the predestinated plan of God. That's who I am. I'm a vessel of mercy. God does not create men in order to annihilate them. But he does know what they will do. God did not create Pharaoh in order that he might destroy him and not even give him a choice. No. But God moved on his heart. God sent signs and wonders. As I said, the scripture repeats it several times when you read the Exodus account. That he hardened his heart. And when he did, that gives God the ability to move on that hardened heart with what? More hardness. You see the danger of turning down truth. When we harden our hearts against truth, you understand what you're opening up yourself for? For God, in turn, to harden your heart. But the flip side of that is, if I open my heart to mercy, I'm opening up a channel for God to give me what? More mercy. I open my heart to the riches of the grace of God. What am I doing? I'm opening my heart and my channel for God to give me, hey, more than I've already said. Yes, Lord, I believe you. I receive grace. I receive pardon. I receive forgiveness. Come on, saints, do it. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. I about had me a breakdown when I found this word. The word prepared is in the Greek, it's the perfect participle, which describes a past action with a continuing result. Woo! A past action with a continuing result. Oh, blessed be the Lord, which he had afore prepared, a past action with a continued result unto glory. Don't you understand why you keep pressing on through all your battles? Why you keep pressing on when others not going through half what you go through? The least little old thing, and they're ready to quit. They're ready to give up on God. They're ready to turn the other way, and you keep plowing right through. What is it? It was by that predetermined counsel of God. It was a past action, and it has a continuing result in your life today. You choose mercy. You choose the grace of God. You choose to be like him. You don't choose destruction. You don't choose wrath. You, oh, hallelujah. It is continuing on in our lives. A past action with a continuing result. And guess what? The past action wasn't yours. It didn't say you prepared yourself, it said he did. It's God's dealings with his objects of mercy, whom he chose. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The word here is advanced for glory. Or the verb he prepared in advance. Pretermeison. He made ready beforehand. And it has a continuing action to this very day. Now, notice it. Oh my. Verse 24. Even us. Can we say that with Paul? Even us, whom he hath called, Kaleel, bid, to call aloud, to invite, to name, by name. Not eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch you by your big toe. Whoever will come, let them come on. I'm not sure who it'll be. That ain't my God. My God knew who would be before the world ever began. Oh, yes, he knew millions times millions would turn him down. But he also knew from a certain part in the back part of his mind that was attributes that come from his eternal being. They will always stand with him. He gave them grace, but he offered these grace. He gave the elect mercy, but he also offered those others mercy. And they said, I don't want your mercy. I don't want your grace. But the vessels of mercy said, I do. I do. If they don't want your grace, I'll take it. If they don't want your healing, I'll take it. Because I'm a vessel of mercy. Even us, whom he has called. Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Now notice, it's not you asking him to call you that. It's not you saying, Lord, can I be your beloved? Will you call me blessed? Will you call me? He said, no, I'm the one who done the calling. And I'm the one who will name you. I'm not calling you by group. We're not just message folks. We got an individual name. Now remember, they were his people before they were ever called by natural name. But the seed in you lay dormant. Oh, is it? Oh, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's a coincidence. I really find it hard to believe that it is. And you're pondering and thinking, what is he talking about, coincidence? Well, I was just kind of thinking about the message entitled, God Rich in Mercy. Preached in February 1965, and the prophet talks about, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. Even when you was a little boy or a little girl, there was something in you then calling. Pretty fitting for the message, God rich in mercy. You went here, you went there, you done this and that and the other, but there's something down inside of you calling, longing. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Your identity had to be spiritually birthed in order to catch up with the thinking of God. You may have walked around drunk, lying, living the awfulest kind of life ever was, but God knew it was only temporary. He knew you just not got in the right birth path yet, but once you did, you would be totally transformed. And once you got it, oh, you'd have ups and downs and ins and outs and all that sort of thing until you was born again. And once you got born again, it would settle it forever. We preach so much about people crossing the line, and I believe there's a line that people can cross where they can't get back. But I also believe there's a line you can cross you don't want to get back. There's a line that you can cross. Praise be to God. You'll never be a sinner again. You'll never be lost again. You'll never belong to the devil again. You have recognized the word of God was eagle food. You have heard from your theophany. The effectual calling. I will call them my people. Amen. Yes. We all know how that is. We all have an identification with our people. How many of you folks have ever attended a Reagan reunion? Weird. Just Reagans. Well, there's humans there. How many of y'all has ever attended a Yonce reunion? Come on, you Yonces. Go ahead. Well, how come you Phillipses didn't raise your hands? How come the Arrowwoods didn't raise their hands? It don't take a rocket science to figure that out. They wasn't Yonces. So they are our people as far as humans. But I'd probably feel kind of out of place at a Yonce reunion. Just like the Yonces would feel out of place at a Reagan reunion. I'll feel out of place at a Reagan reunion. I went to one just a few months back. I mean, I did. My siblings was there and I felt at home with them. But a lot of the other people, I didn't even know them. They didn't know me. I hope they didn't. They might have known me. But why is that? Because they're not our people. But we feel at home with our people. To be honest with you, I feel at home many, many times with the born-again saints of God, more so than just your natural lineage, unless they're born again. Because you have so much more in common. What do you mean, Brother Donnie? The blood, water, baptism, the name of the Lord Jesus, eternal life, prophet of God, future home, eighth day, eternity. We've got all these things in common. Praise God. They never chose him. He chose them. The love of God before the foundation of the world. Now watch this. And it came to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children. Not of just God. Do you understand everybody out here is children of a God? But we're just not children of a God. We're children of the living God. To many folks, money is a God, but it's not a living God. Sex is a God, but it's not a living God. Drugs is a God. Hollywood is a God. They got a lot of gods and goddesses. Football, baseball, basketball, soccer. Preach! It's a God, but it's not a living God. People can make it. Let me say, people can make it a God, but it has no life. It has a lot of commotion and a lot of racket and a lot of stuff like that. But we are not just children of another God. Our Lord Jesus is not one among many gods. The Hindus have over 33 million, as you know. 33 million gods. Our Lord Jesus is not one among many gods. He's not even one among three in the Christian view of the Godhead. Paul didn't say we're children of the living gods. We're children of the living God. Amen. They shall be called. Notice what you're going to be called. How is people going to call you this? How? So if people see you wearing a football jersey, or they see you wearing a baseball cap, or they see you with a certain belt buckle with the Astros or the Cardinals or, you know, whatever on your license plate, they are going to figure just by their process of elimination, you're a fan. Right? So how are they going to call you the children of the living God? There's only one way. When the living God so lives in you, that they can say them people are weird and they dress strange and they really care. But I'll tell you one thing. If you want prayers answered, turn into prayer request. Praise be to God. I'll tell you one thing, friends. I'd lie. I want to be identified with this kind of word right here. There shall be called the children of the living God. Not only children of God, not only children of a God, but children of the living God. Lifeless deities, which only involves people in their sensuality, but cannot change them. But here we sit tonight in the presence of a water walking, miracle working, death defying, grave opening, resurrected, Holy Ghost baptizing living God. We're not pointing back to a God that used to move in the 50s. That God is right here among us tonight. In so much that a couple of years ago, somebody in this community had a baby born, the valve missing in its heart. They didn't think it'd live long enough to even get it to Duke. So they asked somebody from this church they worked with if they'd have us to pray over our prayer calls. Cult, skirt church, weird, strange. But when they need a miracle, so they bought the prayer calls. I wore it, prayed a simple prayer over it, took it to the child. By the next day, the Lord God had created a valve in that baby's heart. Hallelujah! I'm not talking about a historical God. Oh, they ain't got time to go through all that stuff. Brother Darryl was down in Mexico a couple of years ago. A woman there had cancer so bad she stank. Stinking. Another woman there come to the prayer line wanting a baby. He was back there just sometimes recently. That sister, which was stinking, was working in the kitchen. But guess what? She wasn't stinking no more. And that woman which wanted a baby had the manifestation of that baby there. I'm talking about a God that lived in the 50s and the 60s, and now we're just struggling to see where he's at. I know where he's at. Oh, hallelujah, church. If we can have our faith in the promise of his word, we can call him on the scene in our lives when we're in trouble. A living God. Don't you love him? Let me read you a couple more scriptures here. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 26. For who is there of all flesh that had heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Now, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to bring it on down. You've heard the voice of the living God speaking in this day through a prophet. Now let's not stop there. Let's bring it on down to where he currently is. The voice of the living God taking Brother Horn here last Wednesday night. The voice of the living God using Brother Andrew to speak. The voice of the living God speaking right here again tonight. Not men, all men are humans and they make mistakes and all of that, but that is God's chosen way. The living God chooses to express himself through living creatures, not a tape recorder. Joshua 3:10, Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. That he without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites, and he'll drive all your ites out too. Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting king, and at his wrath and the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abode his indignation. Daniel 6:20, when he come to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant. Servant of the living God. Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And you know his reply, O king, live forever. For my Lord has sent his angel this night and stopped the mouths of the lions. Isn't this amazing? The king didn't go to those who made up the fake law and fake news against Daniel and said, where's your living God? Has your living God, has your idol been able to do this? But he went to a man that had a living God. Let's stand. St. John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 14:15, it's saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men that like passions like you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. These heathens, after they saw Paul doing miracles, like some of the message folks, they wanted to turn and worship the prophet. But Paul said, don't do that. Turn from these lying vanities. So if you're worshiping Brother Branham, you're worshiping a false god. That you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now you're not just his sons and daughters, but you're his house. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I hope I don't blow you away. But the church isn't just built upon the truth. The truth is built upon her. Read your Bible. Don't give me that denominational look and bat your eyes. What did Paul just say? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar of the truth and the ground of the truth is the church. Hand out Bibles all over the world. Hand out message books all over the world. Tapes all over the world. And see how many we'll have in 50 years from now. The Ethiopian eunuch had been up to Jerusalem. Sorry, Bill. He'd been up to Jerusalem, up to worship. But come back down, Philip was having a great meeting over there, and the Spirit of God said, leave this place, get over, I got somebody I want you to talk to. Here comes the Ethiopian guy down through there, eunuch, great man, worked for Candace, the queen. So he's sitting there reading quotes of the prophet. He said, like a lamb to the slaughter done before she. So the Holy Ghost said, go join yourself to that chariot. So Philip went over there and he said, knowest what thou readest? He said, how can I? Except some. So he got up in the chariot and began at that same quote. Now here was this man reading the prophet's quotes and still to understand what the prophet was saying. Why? That's the way God ordained it, friends. Like it or lump it. God chipped off pieces of himself, diamonds, which are to set on the pre-recorded album or tapes. They're to set down on the same tape that you listen to as laity. That you may listen to them for 45 years to the same one. And a diamond allotted gift in a man's life will set right down on that same tape that you've listened to for the last 10 years, 300 days out of the year, and that diamond will sit down on that pre-recorded thing, and it'll start in maybe paragraph one and go to explaining it, not adding to it, not taking from it, not going a different way, but just exemplifying and making real what was pre-recorded. And you're sitting there spellbound thinking, Lord, have mercy. I just heard that yesterday and the day before and the day before. And the day. Why didn't I get that? You don't have the diamond. All you said, does that make you and other preachers better? No, the diamond is for you. Amen. Don't think the diamond is for me and the diamond's for these gifted men. The diamond is for your own benefit. Amen. Praise God. Don't you love Him? Aren't you glad you're the people of God? Vessels of mercy. Praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you for these simple truths tonight, Lord. Oh God, I so appreciate, Father, your precious word. Thank you, Lord, through many, many years of difficulty. Sue Wycliffe, and many men who jeopardized their lives to keep this Bible and place it in the common folks' hands. We know in reality, if it had been left up to the Catholic Church, she would have annihilated this book. She would have destroyed it. But you watched over it, Lord. That same Antichrist spirit that is on some of these message people that would annihilate preachers. They would have done away with the Bible. People around this message with the same Antichrist anointing on them would do away with preachers. God called preachers, that is, if they could. Because Satan knows people can sit and listen to tapes for years and never advance one bit in God. They'll never hear the prophet mention the word pornography. They'll never hear the prophet mention the word internet. They'll never hear the prophet mention the false doctrine of two soul or the false doctrine of parousia or the false doctrine that we're already in the millennium. They'll never hear him mention any of those things. So they can sit there and smile as he preaches against the Baptists and so on and so on in the 50s and the 60s and the Pentecostals and leave them almost untouched. Because the message sins had not advanced to that stage. That's one reason they don't want preachers. They can listen to what's been recorded in the 50s and the 60s. But you're a right now God. So you like to anoint men, they can point that slender finger right down in our nose and say, who's been talking to him? It's you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, I thank you for every tape. I thank you for every book, Lord. I thank you, dear God, for the message software. Amen. If I had not believed in it, I certainly would have not invested tens of thousands, multiplied thousands of dollars to help get it in software format. I would have certainly not spent a fortune, hundreds of thousands of dollars, in getting this message printed around the world. Hallelujah. But when I push play, I hear the prophet say, if you're called to preach, preach. So when I push play, it pushes my play. So I don't just hear it and file that quote and a quote that I don't really care for. So I get up and preach. Amen. Every man that's called to preach, he said, needs to preach. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, Brother Joel mentioned it out there in Arizona, and I thought it was beautiful. He opened up the service and said, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, we'd never even probably know one another. We're people of different race and made up different. We'd had nothing in common. But he said, this word has called us together. Lord God, I found this to be so around the world. We were either Chinese or Japanese or Americans or English or black or white or red or yellow, whatever we were. Maybe our cultural lines, our racial lines would never let us cross as far as the human barrier. But this message, if we're truly born again, there are no racists in this message. Neither black nor white nor red nor yellow. We all stand the same before the cross of Jesus Christ. This message has drawn us across financial barriers, cultural barriers, racial barriers. Praise God. You didn't need to send a black prophet for the black people and an Indian prophet for the Indian people and a white prophet for the white people, Lord, because you knew this message would condescend all those barriers. Thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I don't even know if these white people understand it or not. This message is a predominantly black following people. There are more blacks that follow this message than the whites. Praise God. Praise God. You're able to transcend men's weaknesses and failures and man's stumbling blocks. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. Praise be to God. Don't you love him, saints? Don't you appreciate him? With all your hearts. All the people of God. Amen. God bless you. Please pray for Brother Charlie Therese. I'd like to remember Brother Charlie tonight also. Sister Daisy Rice. I'm sure that most of you probably know Sister Daisy has had a little bit of a turn to the worse in the last couple of days. I actually put her in intensive care later this evening. I was on my way to see her, but they was moving her from one room into intensive care. Several things wrong with her sister. We want to remember her in prayer. Anybody else have a need you'd like to make known to the Lord by the raising of your hand? This is one thing that we do. We believe. We're believers. And you know what? When we pray, we expect God to answer. Now, I'm not saying that we expect God to answer in the way we think best. But we expect God to answer according to His sovereignty of how He knows it needs to be answered. If God says no when we pray, then I won't accept a no. Amen? I don't always like no. Like you don't always like no, but His no's are as good as His yes's if that's His will. So let's pray over these requests and your request also. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you'd be mindful, Lord, of Brother Charlie. Lord, you see these things in his body. We're asking you tonight as a group of believers that you'd touch our brother. Heavenly Father, you see these needs. Oh, Lamb of God, in the name of Jesus, move for Brother Charlie. Lord, we want to remember Sister Daisy. Lord, our sister has lived a long life. Now, Father, she's got so many things, as Brother Rocky related to me today. Pneumonia, failing kidneys, had a heart attack. Lord, just one thing after another, Lord, and putting her into intensive care, her blood pressure out of sync, and Lord, just so many different things. But we know the devil can't take us until you're done with us. But Lord, I believe the way a real believer feels in their heart is, the prophet said, whenever he's done with me here in life, I'm done with life. Then whenever that time comes, when it's 16 or 50 or 80 or 90, whenever it is, we want to be ready to go. We pray for our sister tonight, Lord. If it's not her time to cross over right now, we pray in the name of Jesus. May you reach down to Sister Daisy, Lord. Father, then you saw the hands of your children that was uplifted. Lord, many of them was not able to make their request known verbally, but by the lifting of the hand, it signified a need. Maybe in their body, in their home. Lord, I bring it before you tonight. Maybe others out streaming the service as well, right there in their home. Maybe at their job. Maybe coming in on the road somewhere. They raise their hand. Father, my mind goes to Brother Darrell tonight. Lord, you see he's still fighting this in his back, dear God. I pray in the name of Jesus you'd move for our brother. Lord God, you see, Father, you had a great mighty move, Lord, when you touched him and he was able to go to Arizona and preach there, Lord. The anointing come on him. It was a miracle. The anointing come on him, Father, and he was able to preach. But When the anointing left, Father, the symptoms are still there. And oh God, terrible pain yesterday. Drove down to Brother David's church today to cover for him. May the Spirit of God be with our brother. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are vessels of mercy. We are not fitted to wrath. We are not fitted to destruction. We are not fitted to unbelief. God, we love you tonight. We worship you, Lord Jesus. May you minister to the needs of your children tonight, God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you see, I was a peculiar creature one day. I looked as all other lumps of the clay. The matter from which I came seemed as all the others. It looked the same. My eyes were a similar color. My hair a darkened brown. My flesh of the same skin tone as others that were around. But one day the Heavenly Father gave a call from above to the attribute of His mercy. And I responded in tender love. And mercy, I said mercy, wrote a new chapter of the mystery of my life. It unfolded a part of His attributes that I never knew existed, that I was His wife. My short few years in existence, I thought much I would never be. My life would never accumulate many things, and surely never be in eternity. But once I recognized the Word of God was the very eagle food, I heard from my theophany and recognized I was of the eagle brood. My Father came calling. He came calling me by name. Glory be to God. My life was changed. Hallelujah. Now I'm called by Jesus' name. Mercy was extended and wrath driven away as the power of God saved me and is saving and changing me for a better day. Well, praise the Lord. Where'd that come from? Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, what a poet you are. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, why don't you sing for us? Mercy walked in. Oh, you remember it? My, it's happened many, many times in your life since you got saved. But you remember when it first happened to you? When the Spirit of God started moving. Maybe you got baptized in titles and it was years later. Maybe it's through a preacher. Maybe it's through a tape of the prophet. Once again, mercy walked into the revelation of water baptism. Maybe the revelation of serpent seed, the revelation of election, just as it's happened over and over again. One day, mercy will walk in with the last manifestation you'll ever need in the existence of time. Mercy will bring your new body. Let's just sing this together before we go, can we? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Listen to the words now.
The courtroom. The judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke of your honor. I had no That's when mercy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, Jesus got a hold of my life and He won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart. He got into my soul. Yeah. I used to be all so sad. Oh, Thank you, Jesus. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what do you think I see? I seen a band of angels. They were coming after me, 'cause there ain't no you. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, making a difference in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, making a change in my life. Well, it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, making a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. Woo! Praise the Lord! That's one thing I love about church on Wednesday. You don't have to wait till Saturday to get drunk. You don't have to wait till Sunday to get drunk. You don't have to wait to get all filled up, intoxicated under the power of the Holy Ghost. But whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, Jesus said, if there's any two gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'd rather be in your praising Him than senator talking about your money. It'd do you more good being in your worshiping Him than standing out talking about your neighbor or going somewhere to have a hamburger. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. Some of you old folks are too old to have church with me. Well, some of you young people have church with me. Some of y'all's arthritis and your rheumatoid, this and that and the other. Well, some of you young people help me worship God. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Brother West, come and dismiss us before I get in second gear. God bless you, saying, see you this weekend.
I feel like the most blessed man on the face of the earth right now. I came from out there. I came from those denominations. I came from that dead Jezebel religion. I came from that mess. And I came to a place where there's life, liberty, and freedom in the Holy Ghost. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed to be here where the truth is spoken. I love it. I love it. God, I love it. Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you so much. Lord, oh my God, what liberty there is in the truth. I love you. I just love you so much, Father. I love you so much. How can we express in words, Lord, what's happening inside of us right now as this word comes across the pulpit, as you come down here and speak to us lip to ear, Lord God? How is there any way that we can thank you enough for that? Praise your holy name, my King, my sovereign Lord. Oh, God, I love you so much. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm sorry. God, please, Lord, just be with us so we can come together again safely in your name, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, please. We just want to get out of here, Father. We want to be with you forever. Oh, Father, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing tonight, Lord. Thank you for the truth, the pure, unadulterated truth of your word. You coming in word form. Thank you so much, Father. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over.